Believe it or not, pain helps develop us into who God is calling us to be. That's the theme of today's show, Legs Closed, Bible Open. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday and Wednesday night, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition. Now, you may have noticed that I'm doing it today on Wednesday, and that's only because yesterday I had the wonderful opportunity to go to a meeting with the Greater Detroit Romance Writers of America and facilitate a discussion about including diversity in the romance genre. It was so uplifting and so invigorating to add to the conversation. So that's the only reason why we're having our show today as opposed to our usual Tuesday nights, which we turn to our regular schedule next week. But you know what? It was so good to just have an open dialogue about these very difficult topics, talking about diversity, talking about ethnic inclusion in all areas of fiction, not just romance. And we went away with some actionable items that we can implement to make sure that ethnic diversity is included in romance land. That was what I was advocating at that meeting. So we had a great time there, but I'm so glad to be back on the mic with you tonight. Yes, we are going to be talking to Charmaine Hunter, and Charmaine's book, Legs Closed, Bible Open, is sure to give you what you need to know that no matter what your background is, God will and can give you the strength to conquer. We're going to be talking to her today in just a few moments. I do have a couple of announcements to make. The first is that if you haven't signed up for the SoCal Christian Writers Conference, make sure you do that today. Go to SoCalCWC.com, register for the conference. Let me tell you, if you want to be part of a conference that is going to uplift you, if you want to be part of a conference that's going to give you everything, everything you need as an author, this is the conference to go to. It takes place next month, June 20th through the 22nd at Hope International University in Fullerton, California. So make sure you register today by going to SoCalCWC.com and find out what all the fuss is about. And I want to thank you so much for your support of my newest release, Wanted Fire Chief, which is part of the best-selling Silver Pines series. Your responses have been absolutely phenomenal. Thank you so much. My next release comes out next month, June 14th, and that's the next Pinkerton book in the Pinkerton Matchmaker series, another best-selling series there. If you want to call in and weigh in, you know you can. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Charmaine Hunter in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today on this lovely Wednesday evening here in Detroit, Michigan. The sun is shining, the sky is blue, the air is sweet, and I get a chance to talk to Charmaine Hunter, who is the author of the book Legs Closed, Bible Open. And there's so much to this story that you need to hear. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, Charmaine Hunter. Charmaine, how are you doing today?
I am blessed. Thank you so much for having me today. It's such an honor to be here with every one of you.
And thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here with us today. I never take it lightly when we have our guests with us. I never take it lightly because you could have been doing anything else, but you were here today. And so I want to, first of all, thank you for joining us. And then I got to ask, who do we have to thank for you being here as well? There's a couple of people we want to give a shout out to. So who do we thank for having you here today too?
Well, I would first like to thank God for just planting the book inside of me and giving me instruction on the manifestation of it all. And I also would like to thank Clarissa Reinhart. She has been there from beginning to end, with even down to the editing and helping me get the book published soon here. And I'm grateful for that, but I'm also grateful for she has a mentor that has spoken with me a couple of times, kind of just poured into me on some things. Her name is Deborah. Let me see. I'm not sure. I'm sorry about that, guys. I don't know her last name.
It's Dunson. Deborah Dunson. Yeah.
I'm just grateful for that because if it wasn't for her pouring into Clarissa like she did on some things, I definitely wouldn't have had this connection with both of these ladies, and it's just a blessing to have that divine timing for what God is wanting to manifest at this hour.
I've always told Deborah, you have no idea how many authors you've kept from jumping off the cliff, because she reaches out to authors all the time and just encourages them no matter what genre they write. And she always reaches out and encourages them, and she doesn't think anything of it. But I remember how much of an encourager she was to me. And I remember when Clarissa, when she posted Clarissa's post about your book into one of our Facebook groups, I was instantly intrigued. I was ready and wanted to have you on the show. So I'm so glad we do. Now, the thing is, your story is an integral part of who you are, from low lows to high highs. So what do you want our listeners, first of all, before we get to your full story, what do you want our listeners to learn from your story?
The biggest thing right now, just to learn from all of this that you're here tonight, I'm sorry about that, is just to know that God is able to change a story in the matter of a moment. I know that even being in the place that I was, I never thought that I would be here, one, a mother as well. And I just thank God for the healing process. I just want people to know that it's God is able. more than anything, to change what your life looks like because of the situations you're in, because of the mistakes you have made, because of just going through life and it's beat you up a little bit or a lot and you feel like you're hopeless. I just want people to know that God is able and that He's there through everything that we go through. He's always listening. So know that there's nothing wrong with pouring your heart to Him, because He's always there looking to help heal you in every place of hurt and brokenness. And that's the biggest thing that I want my audience to know, men and women who are going to hear what I've gone through and maybe in the situations or circumstances that I've endured, that God is always there. Even if you feel like you have no one else, He's always that foundation and that rock waiting for you to come to Him and to listen to everything that you want to share with Him.
I like how you said He's always listening, and I think that's a very important part of the discussion, because sometimes we feel as if He is so far away, He cannot possibly hear what I have to say, because we get depressed, we get into the dumps, and we feel as if we cannot move out of it. And then something will happen to let us know that I am here and I am listening to you. And so that excites me. That excites me to know that He is there. So the next question I have is this, and this is some more pre-release questions I have. As you were reaching out for the public relations part, the PR for your book, there is an interesting dialogue that happened regarding the title of this book. And so we're not going to state names or anything like that, but tell us about that exchange, what that exchange was about.
Okay, so, you know, being a new author, it's been definitely an experience. This is a place I've never walked into. I remember Clarissa had suggested a group that she was in with her mentor and some other great authors in there, including yourself. And there was something that she notified me of like kind of like the topic of my book, ruffled a little bit of feathers, you know, with some things. Pretty much the conversation was about sexual purity and how it's not good to really promote that and wear that because it kind of something that people are always telling someone growing up, you know, close your legs, don't say anything, you know, about things like that. But I've always been a trailblazer. I've always been someone who is willing to break the mold. I always feel like God created me to not be like everybody else. I don't want you to be comfortable, because change comes when you're uncomfortable. And so the thing is that the conversation was pretty much about promoting sexual purity. Now, in no way am I promoting, okay, well, you need to keep your legs closed. It's mainly coming from a aspect of, this is my story. This is what happened. These are the negative effects of what happened. This is the fruit that was, you know, pulled up from that lifestyle, from what I endured. And I want to encourage someone. And that's why it's always so important to make sure that you know what's in the book, the content. Because sometimes we see things and we judge, and we've done it all, you know, people, places, and situations, and we don't have the discernment from the Holy Spirit about things, and we kind of speak out of turn, and we don't understand. We lack understanding, but the Word of God tells us in all of our getting, we're to get understanding. So I think it was just a misunderstanding. The person that spoke on this topic didn't really understand. She had an issue with me using the word prostitute. And I'm always one of those people where I like to use a word for what it is. You know, and the thing is that if we're looking at a dictionary, you know, you exchange services for sex, that's what it was. And so I'm no longer going to try to sugarcoat anything, because there are people hurting. There are people dying. I lost my sister in 2012 to the lifestyle. She had a pimp, other things. She was murdered. She has two sons. So I am not here to make you comfortable. I want you to shift. I want you to understand that God is there. And so that conversation really was just mainly from one person, just kind of bothered by that because of her job title. And I'm using the more appropriate word of sex trafficking. But I told her, I said, this is my story. This is what it is. This is what God has brought me through. That is what happened at the time. This is the words that I choose to use. You know, and the thing is this, it's just to encourage people, because at the end of the day, you know, I want to be as transparent as possible with everything that happened in my life, everything that went down. And so that's pretty much what the conversation was about, just really not promoting sexual purity as a Christian. And so, you know, the response was really expected because I know that this is not a topic that people feel comfortable talking about usually. So I want to be a voice for others.
Well, it's interesting about the conversation, and I totally agree with the young lady. So we're not saying we disagree in making sexual purity be the for-all and be-all of our Christian walk, because I'm sure a bunch of us probably wouldn't fit that role anyway.
Right.
But it did bring me I understood what she was saying, and I understood that. I even respected her opinion, even if I did not agree with it. But one thing it did have me actually, the question was this: do you think purity is related to our physical state?
Not only. I truly believe that everything has a spiritual part to it. And so sexual purity, as we know, what we're looking at it on the way that it's used is, okay, I'm going to practice abstinence. I'm going to not do things that are going to make me seem like I'm reckless with the temple that God gave me, or I don't care. But I really believe that purity comes spiritually as well, because on a biblical standpoint, God wants to dwell in a clean temple. And that's not only just what you eat, but that's the way that you treat who you give your body to. That is what you ingest, whether it's not even food, because we know people have different alternative lifestyles. But it's just to say that I believe that sexual purity is also just being able to give your body to Christ and to tell him that you're willing to wait it out. Like, okay, you know, I'm willing to make sure that no matter what I've gone through, no matter what obstacles I face, no matter what I've endured, that I'm willing to be patient with the process. I'm willing to know that your plans are greater for me. And so I always feel like everything has a spiritual aspect to it, especially when it comes to having sex, right? Having intercourse, that's spiritual as well, because you think about it, the person that you're laying down with, that you choose laying down with, whether it's your husband, wife, or not, you're giving a part of yourself with them. And now you have an emotional tie to them. Now you feel a part of them in some way or another. Whether, you know, you have an arrangement or whatever people have now, there's always a spiritual part to it. So I always feel like there is not just the physical when you're talking about sexual purity. And having intercourse, whether before marriage, after marriage, doesn't matter. I feel like there is a spiritual part to all of that.
You make a very interesting point there, and I'm glad you made that point. And so it brings to my next question of how Christ makes us pure. And I say that particularly because your story comes from a place of pain. It comes from a place of disobedience and things of that nature, which many of us come from.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does Christ change something that's dirty and make it pure, if you will?
For me, I'll give how the transformation kind of happened for me. I was honest. One thing I've learned is that be very transparent with God. That's the one person we don't have to put on a show for, because he knows all, right? And so the thing is this, I was tired of living a certain way. And, you know, we all get to that point where mentally you feel like you're just going to lose it. You feel like there's nothing else for me. There's no other thing. And this is why sometimes you hear stories about people, even in the church, pastors and things like that, committing suicide, because people get to a point where it's like, I don't know how to deal with everything that's going on. And so for me, it's just a matter of really being transparent with God. I've been told different things about, you can't say this, you can't say that, don't say that. But I'm like, there are certain words, even in the Word of God, that God used, and you kind of just like, oh my goodness, wow, you said that. And so the thing is that I was just very transparent at a point where I was just really at the end of my rope. I was just at a place where I'm like, Lord, there's nothing else for me where I am currently. And I need to, and I desire to live. I desire to be here. But if you don't come to my rescue, I won't be, you know? Mm. And so the biggest thing for me was just breathing and telling God all about it, because I couldn't tell people, because, you know, there's always that level of judgment about the lifestyle I came from and the things that I did, because I was put on a pedestal that I didn't ask to be on at a young age because of my accomplishments, because of my things. And so I felt like when my life changed, when I was a mother, when I did what I did, when things happened the way that they did, you know, I felt like, okay, the pedestal was removed from under me and I hit the ground hard. Family, people that I thought were friends, people that I thought loved me, they went silent for a while, kind of like ghosted me for a while. And so there's a chapter in the book called Transformed by God's Word, right? And so I always think that that's a very big part of it, and explaining to people that I didn't do this alone. I didn't do this alone. And is that mm-hmm. this is not my doing, and that there are nights that I had breakdowns. And I don't want to ever paint a picture like, oh, yeah, I did this. This is what I did. No, I drank it out. I sexed it out. I did a lot of things trying to find my way. And the only thing that I can say is that it just took me a time. I wasn't even in my word, the word of God. I just had to have a real talk with God. I said, mm-hmm. if you don't come to my rescue, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And there was no sugar on that. Very, very mm-hmm. bitter situation, you know. And so the thing is that I was just transparent. And I think a lot of times that, you know, people want to be other people because they're afraid that if they say anything or they do anything out of the norm or what we consider normal, it's not accepted. But I had to just really be transparent with God. And I said, they're going to see what's going on, God, and my life is not for them. I really need this. You know, I need this, and I want to breathe, and I want to live, and I want to thrive, and I want to be all that you created me to be, but I don't know where to start. So I started with prayer. It was kind of like a talk, like I'm talking to you. I'm talking to everyone here. It was just a talk. I said, I'm going to be so real with you, God. You know, listen, this is between us. This is what we're talking about. So I share with him things that no one knows. But I think in that transparency with him, he was able to help me recover. Step by step. It wasn't easy. But mm-hmm. to help me understand that you are loved. You appreciate it. Whether it was scriptures that I found about his love for us. And I'm like, I've never been loved like that. I never knew that you loved me like that. And that love healed me. God's love healed me. And I'll say that over and over because that's what it was for me.
But for those of you who are listening, we're talking to Charmaine Hunter. She is the author of the upcoming book, Legs Closed, the Bible Open. And it's a memoir of her journey from a woman who had depression, who went from having a child out of wedlock and even being a prostitute to being an overcomer and a conqueror. It's going to be available on Amazon.com. We'll give you details about that later on in the show. If you want to weigh in our discussion, you know you can by calling in 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with that question and comment. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J., and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome. welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on a special night Wednesday on WPJC 104.5. We are talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Charmaine Hunter. She is the author of the upcoming book, Legs Closed, Bible Open. This memoir tells her story from being a woman who suffered from depression, who had a child out of wedlock and became a prostitute, to now she is an overcomer. And she is telling her story to let you know that, guess what, you can be an overcomer too through the power of Jesus. And that is happening today on the show. And once again, Charmaine, thank you so much for being with us on the show to share and tell your story. I love your energy. I love how passionate you are, because there are people desperately needing the words that you say. And with that, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Some people are surprised by that. I always read from the King James Version, only because I love the lyricalness of the KJV version, not a KJV onlyer. But in the English Standard Version, it says this: "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." And that's 1 Corinthians 6:17 through 19. When you hear that verse, what are some of the thoughts that you think about it? Or how does that verse speak to you?
I actually love that scripture, so thank you for that. I read it, because I also use another translation other than King James Version when I'm looking at certain scriptures for sure, for understanding. When I hear that, I don't hear condemnation. What I hear is just awareness, knowing what you're doing and the choices that you're making. And I like how in that scripture it talks about, you know, being able to sinning against your own body or outside of the body. And so we know this sexual immorality is against your own body. And so I think one of the things for me that I really think about when I read that is that once we give our lives to Christ, we tell him that, hey, I am yours. Just like when you're married to someone that you are so in love with that God has given you, you feel like you've waited forever. Whatever the case is, you're excited about it. You want to give yourself to them. You want to be only for them. And so I think about my relationship with Christ as such, that I only want to be for you, God. And at the end of the day, you know, I think about the fact that I don't even desire to want to break that covenant, because it's a covenant with us and God when you do give your life to Christ. And just really thinking, the thoughts that come to me is just gratefulness. Lord, thank you that sexual immorality is not something that I struggle with anymore. Just really gratefulness, and then also just being aware and also helping other people know that even if this is something that you are battling with, there is recovery. There is, there's so much for you, you know, and it's just a matter of support. And sometimes when we have people in our lives that don't support us or condemn us, Christ is not condemning us. And even in all of the scriptures, some of them may sound a little harsh because of the way we feel, but just to know his love for us, it's like, hey, this is what you're doing. You're sinning against your own body. Your covenant is between you and I. So any relationship that you desire to have, that you want to be healthy and you want to thrive, you want to reap the most benefits from, you do whatever it takes to make sure that that fruit is healthy when it's harvested. So that's what I think about when I read that. It's just kind of like really reflection on where I've been and just gratefulness, and also just understanding that he does speak on that, and that's something that clearly is a big issue in the body of believers even now, you know, sexual immorality. And no one's here to unrighteously judge you, but to say that, hey, this is the word. And sometimes people don't even know that it's in the Bible, because sometimes we don't take the time out to spend that time with God. And so, you know, some people may not even heard that scripture until you said it tonight. But I just want to encourage everyone that is going through some things that have to do with this in particular, right? That, you know, there is hope, and then Christ loves you, and that there's so much more to you than what you've been taught, what's been sown in inside of you for however long, you know. And so that's really what my thoughts are when I hear the scripture, when I read the scripture.
I really want to delve into your story now, because you did a lot to encourage those out there, which I think was highly important, because you never know who's listening to what you're saying, and you don't know where they are at in their own life. And so I'm so glad that you started off with so much encouragement and so much transparency and so much, you know what? It's not the end of the world, and guess what? Things can change. You can become a conqueror. So let's start here. Where does your story start?
I'll say the first chapter was about pain. I think a lot of times we don't go back to the root of things and why things have happened to us and how things have manifested in our lives. And I'm really big on going back to roots now. You know, it's no longer can we do a surface check, because we always see that there's something else underlying, no matter what it is. And a part of my story, a big part of my story, was me being very depressed about life itself, about not feeling like I was loved and cared for, even by my parents, not feeling like anyone that I was around that said that they loved me at the time, that they kind of like, I don't care if you live or die. Like, that's how I felt. So I felt like, just with the life that I was in, it was like it was a cancer slowly eating away, and then towards the end things kind of sped up at the end with the lifestyle I was in. But I just really felt like it was a process of years of like sitting. It's like wine, right? You know, your wine is pressed from grapes, and the longer it sits, right, one, the stronger it is, but they say that it tastes better, right? But in my situation, the longer things sat and processed, it was eating away at me from the inside. People would look at me and say, hey, you have a beautiful smile. You're such a great person. Not understanding that I lived in this world of a smoke screen. It's like the sky is blue, but I can't see that, because all I see is this dark smoke screen around me every day, wondering if I should even get up and make it today. Wondering if life is worth living, looking and assessing my life and saying, what do I honestly have to live for? And most days, there was nothing much that I thought I had to live for.
What I like is the transparency that you constantly show to our listeners who are listening to the sound of my voice. And depression is real. And you gave us some examples of what it was like to live with depression. And one thing about people who are depressed, which is why we have to be so very careful and so very attentive to the spirit, because the people who live with depression, they know how to smile and they know how to say, oh, I'm doing fine. But inside, they're crying out. And for those of you who follow me on Saturday, you know that I recently did a show where I talked about a friend of mine whose daughter had depression. And the horrible repercussions of that, of depression, because they know how to fake it. They know how to fake it. So depression is real, and it does stay with you. And like I said, they know how to fake it. So you often have to be so prayerful, because you never know who in your life is faking it. You never know. And so what I want to do is go to your journey, how your journey started from being a prostitute, and I guess the correct term, which is, I didn't know until they had that conversation about the title, I think is trafficked survivor. Is that the word the young lady said? I think that's what it was. I'm not into PC, so I don't really know what it is. But how did that journey begin?
Well, like I had mentioned earlier, I had always been that child that was really great with academics. I was very sheltered. So I went through, I graduated high school, had honors, all of that great stuff. But I always thought in the back of my mind as a teenager, when I get out of here, I'm going to do what I want. Right. And so I my life started with college. I got out of the house, did college. I did a lot of things, men, women, whatever. I just wanted to know what I was missing. Right. I said, well, what did they chance so hard to keep me from? Because my parents had a drug addiction that I lived through, some other addictions that we lived through. And we saw everything, felt everything. So anyway, just going into college, had some situations, had multiple partners, you know, really didn't care about it. I, you know, you protected myself. I said, I'm good, you know, at the end of the day. And then I got kicked out of school because of finances. My dad had some things going on, you know, and school wasn't being paid for. So I went back home. I think that that's when it started, as far as like just the hopelessness. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, well, you know, I was going to school. I was doing this major. I thought I was going to get a four-year degree. Had to leave within a few months of the first semester. The hopelessness, I wasn't a mother then. I was only 18. So a little bit over, about 10 years ago. And I really, that's when it started. I met a guy when I came home. I met a guy. And when I tell you guys this, every man that I've ever dealt with up until my failed marriage, they have been connected to the lifestyle that I ended up being in. So mm-hmm. I met a guy. He was in this lifestyle I didn't know he was in, but I was like, I really need to make some money. I had some sexual harassment on the job from a manager. He wanted sexual favors. I told him no. He removed me from the schedule. So I was looking like, okay, when can I make some money? How can I make some money? The guy introduced it to me. So really it was like a Facebook for professional prostitutes. I mean, I'll say they'll say entertainers, they'll say whatever, but you're pretty much putting your services out there, what you charge, and it's like a network of people. You may find pimps there, you may find prostitutes there, you have pictures, explicit, reserved, whatever, but that's how it started. And so I was intrigued. I said, oh my goodness, you can make this much money. People are really paying this much money. I've always been an entrepreneur just for the wrong product for a while. And so for me, I just really feel like that's where it started. And because I cared for him so much, and because I had some issues with my father, because I didn't feel like anyone loved me, my mindset was I have nothing to lose. So when he put it in my ear, I said, tell me more. How can I do this? And so I was like, well, it must be simple. You have sex, you get your money, you keep going. And so that's what I thought of it as. So that's where it started. I made my first $80 out of my own apartment. I lived on my own at the time. And that's where it started, because it was that one man. That's all it took. But not understanding when I lost my virginity at 16 to a 22-year-old man, he was also a pimp, and I didn't know that. So this was a thing that started really early. And my sister that passed away, God rest her soul, she started at 16. And so some generational things going on here. She didn't make it out, okay? But I'm grateful that God helped me through it and that I found him. But what I will say is it started that young. I was about 18, 19 years old when I made my first little bit of money from that. And I was like, okay, I can do this.
You know, I have to interject here because there was a young lady at our church, and I didn't know who she was. She was in the front of the church, and I go to a mega church. So she's in front of the church, and I'm sitting in the choir. And she was just jumping and hollering and everything, you know. And I said, well, I'm so glad to see somebody moving today. You know, that's how you kind of go, right? And come to find out, she had been kicked out of her house when she was 14 years old, and she had gotten into the lifestyle when she was like 14. And you would not have known that she was 14 because she had that she was 30. She had been in the lifestyle for almost 12 to 14 years since that time because she got kicked out. And so I couldn't even begin to imagine 14. I couldn't. I have no comprehension of that. And so what happened is she, what God had did for her, no wonder she was jumping around. No wonder she was, flip over tables and stuff because of what the Lord had done for her. And as I listen to your story, I think about her because the lifestyle is now on her face, you know, because she really has that peace of God on her. And the church helped her out, of course, and, you know, they gave her some money. She wanted to go back to school. And then the last I heard, she was going back home to try to reconcile to her mother who had kicked her out the house when she was 14. And so when I hear that story, and I hear how you say how young it started. Here you go, 16, and that's how young it starts. So this is a PSA announcement for our listeners out there. This is happening now. This is 16. This is 14. So this is how serious it is, okay? And we need to be mindful of that. So as you were talking about, you know, how this all happened, how the people who had been involved off from the lifestyle, you know, I want you to kind of peel back the veil of what that life looked like, because this was your career for a while. You know, like you said, you know, you made your first $80. You say, you kind of go, okay, I can do this, you know. So peel back the veil, and again, be as transparent as you desire, but go ahead and tell us what that life looks like.
Oh, man. I'll say this. The lifestyle that I was in, just meeting, I've met different women. I talked to them. There's so much pain there. There's so much, you know, you may see women out walking, and you may say, hey, I'll never be her. Right, because I said it before I even had it happen. But I'll say that a lot of the women that you meet, they have issues with their fathers. And it may sound cliche, but it's not a game. And that their dad was the man to break their heart first. So when that happens, you know, they just don't feel like there's any respect for men. I met a lot of women that lost respect for men, yet they still were working and paying them. And I also met women who were lesbian women who dressed like men who were out there prostituting other women. And what I tell you guys, there's something that happened that I'll never forget. I was out in Oakland, California on East 14th, the same streets my sister walked on. And I had a pimp. I actually dealt with a few pimps during this lifestyle, just trying to find my way. And I saw a pregnant woman. She was about 9 months pregnant. Her pimp got out of the car and beat her. When I tell you, beat her. And one of the things of that lifestyle, they tell you don't make eye contact with them because it's a sign of disrespect. They tell you mind your business. That has nothing to do with you. So they tell you, even though there's this beautiful young woman getting beat on, because she was no more than 30. You know, she's getting beat on with a full baby. She's full term at this point. You can't say anything. And everybody's like a zombie out there. No one says anything. They keep their heads down. They're worried about their own pockets because guess what? They're out there working, but they don't understand that even the police are around, but so are their pimps, and they're watching. You may not openly see them, but they have eyes everywhere. And so much pain I endured. I was offered cocaine. I was offered lots of things. My personal choice was liquor. I said, well, I've already been drinking since I was 16. My cousin gave me my first sip of wine. This shouldn't be too bad. But it got really bad. And I started drinking regularly because there's just certain rules that, you know, you don't, you be as, you have as, the least amount that you have on that you're wearing, the better, the more that you're going to pick up a date, the more that you're going to get money. So even though I'm one of those women that I love to be covered, there were days, guys, where I would go out in what it looks like a long T-shirt, more like a dress, with really nothing on, honestly. And so there were times where I think to myself, like, I can't do this. I can't do this in a right mind. And I call my pimp. I tell him, bring me a bottle. I'll be up to the room in a minute. And I would drink. I wouldn't chase it. And I would throw up. And I would feel sick. I would feel really intoxicated. But I'd get out there and make the money because that was the only way that I knew how. I couldn't do it sober-minded. Even in that, God was with me because I would have, like, even some of the dates that I went on, the men were like, you don't belong out here. You don't even look like you belong out here. You're so clean. You don't look like the rest of these girls out here. You're you know, you're not like the rest of them. Like, I would have men that would have dates with me tell me that. And so God was always with me as a shield of protection. And what I tell you is very, very perverse. You know, you see a lot of things and you may not know different worlds. It's like another language, right? Another language. And it's one of those things where you really have to, I wasn't even praying. Okay. I wasn't praying. I was drinking. And I remember getting in the shower most nights scrubbing because there was a filthiness that I felt, but it wasn't physical, right? And I'm just like scrubbing and scrubbing because I'm like, maybe this will make me feel better. And weeping in the shower, weeping. And I'm like, I don't know how to make this pain stop. My sister died. Lord, is this going to be how I leave here? Because every time you close the door, you don't know if the guy that you're doing a date with is going to slit your throat. You're paranoid because they may have been robbed before by the women, by their pimps, because a lot of that's happened out there. You don't know if you're going to die. I've had a couple situations, actually, where I had a knife to my throat, I had a gun to my head. I had all of my money taken from me, and my belongings, phone, everything. I was walking for miles at a time because I didn't have any money. And my, you know, at the time, which happens to be my daughter's dad, he was really big on coke, cane, and so he was gone somewhere high for the night. I couldn't reach him, so I'm literally trying to get a ride. I never felt so filthy in my life. I would have people look at me, mug me, because I barely had anything on, looking at me, talking about me, honking, making fun of me on the bus. They're looking at me crazy, you know, and they look at you like you have a disease. And I never knew what that felt like. I never knew what that felt like. The level of rejection made you just feel like life was just not worth living. It's bad enough that you have treatment from, you know, people in the lifestyle. They don't treat you like you're worth anything. And then to have the people that you love the most treat you that, like, treat you that way. And then to have the people that you wouldn't expect, maybe even strangers, to make fun of you, won't even give you a ride because they know that you're out there working. But to realize that I'm a person. Sorry, guys, but I'm a person. And I have feelings, and there are things that I desire, and there are just some wrong turns that I made. I wanted somebody to understand that. I wanted somebody to know that she's just hurt. She needs help. And I didn't get that. I didn't get that from anywhere but God.
Amen. I'm going to go ahead and take you on a quick break real quick so you can compose yourself. I know it's a difficult thing you're talking about, and I know for our listeners, I know they're just as moved by your story and by the things that you tell us just as much as I am. And so for those of you still listening in, you can call in to weigh in on our conversation. We've got a few more minutes left by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Coe, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity, or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 750,000 followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has three packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
And we are back. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Been having such a soul-stirring, transformative conversation with Charmaine Hunter. She is the author of the book Legs Closed, Bible Open. It's her story from a woman who had depression to having a child out of wedlock to being a prostitute. And it's her story of how God turned her and transformed her into a conqueror. And, you know, Charmaine, just listening to you just tell that story, it just makes me just want to do more and pray harder for those who need that prayer. Like you said before the break, you may mention, you said, you know, I need someone to believe that I'm worthy, that I'm worthy, that I'm worth it. I didn't want to be out here. Circumstances happen. You know, you mentioned how some of the women, most of the women have issues with their father. you know, and their father, for whatever reason, whether he neglected them or abused them, you know, they have issues with that. It lets you know just how powerful that father figure is in our young women's lives. And so I'm just so thankful to you for being so candid and being so transparent about that. But we are running out of time, and I hate to rush this. It's been just so informative. But I'm just going to go to a couple more things I want you to ask before we get ready to end our show tonight. I know you had some beta readers, like, read your book, because the book isn't out yet, and we'll get that in just the next question. You tell us how we can sign up for maybe a copy of it or when it's going to be out. But how has that response from those readers who looked at your initial manuscript, how have their responses been?
I'll say that for the beta readers, what I did do is I released the first chapter. I figured that it would help kind of warm up the audience on what is to come. And so the response that I got, there were people in tears. They said, you know, listen, I never knew that this was a part of your story. Because when you see people on social media, you never really know everything, right, unless they were just telling everything. And people were just really touched because they felt like there was a genuine human connection. Like, okay, I'm not the only one. And sometimes when you're going through, you just want to know that you're not the only one. And so that's what I got. A lot of responses from those who purchased the first chapter, they really, really love the fact that I have someone I can connect with. I need to read the rest of this because there are things unspoken that I have not told friends or family about that I can find here. Even a stranger in Lyft never read my book, but we had a conversation. I was a Lyft driver. She had been going through the same exact thing. She wasn't as long in my lifestyle, but purchased the book that night because she said, I thank you for this. You know, I thank you so much for being transparent. Most people don't understand what we've endured. And just to know that I was able to touch her because she was dealing with some things that were just like what I had went through. And so the biggest thing for me is that knowing that the people that read the first chapter had a connection with me, the heart of me, not saying who you see on social media, because I am the same person, but to say, hey, this is some things that may not be openly put out there unless you read the book, unless you, you know who she is personally. And just to know that their lives were changed by even the first chapter blessed me tremendously.
Now, when is the book coming out? Give us the release date.
So the book will be out at the end of the month.
Hey.
We have been working really, really diligently according to God's guidance because he's the one who planted inside of me. But it will be out at the end of the month. Right now what I'm doing is that I do have some extra physical books that will be on hand. If people want to reserve their copies, they can go ahead and email. I can give that information later on once we go to the other segment of things. But
are you giving
up? Email.
Like...
Okay. Well, my email address is Charmaine, it's CHARMAINE dollar, DOLLAR at gmail.com. And that is also for some future things that I'm working on as well that I'm going to be, as I'm leading the Holy Spirit, you know, doing some things where I can do consultations as well for just the women that need to talk about it, right? And so, like, they have no one to tune to. But honestly, that'll be the way. Also, my social media is Charmaine, C-H-A-R-M-A-I-N-E. And then my last name, my married last name is still Hunter on Facebook. So it's Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R. You're more than welcome to send an inbox right now because we were doing pre-sales and things like that. I'm working on my website to get things up and running with Amazon. And so until then, I can also take the payments through PayPal if they want buyer protection or Cash App, whatever they choose, whatever's easier. The book is $15, the hard copy. Working on an electronic version as well for those who are on the go and want to read from their phones, from their tablets. We are releasing that soon as well, but they can always reach out to me that way, email or just Facebook, whatever they choose, whatever's easier to request a copy, and I'll make sure to get that out.
You know, Charmaine, this show is always about letting authors out there whom God has given them the gift to write, but I want you to talk to those who have a story to tell. Like, you have a story to tell, and that desire to share that story is something that God gave you to share. And I know it's a difficult story, but I got to thinking, who else out there whom God has turned from victim to victor? Who else out there has God turned from, you know, depressed to delighted, you know? And God is calling them to share that message, to be transparent about the pain, because like you say on your book, that pain leads us to who God is calling us to be. So in the few moments we have left, go ahead and encourage those authors out there to be obedient to the call of the Lord.
Yes, absolutely. So the biggest thing that I've learned, guys, from the last 4 years, because this was a 4-year process, okay? This wasn't overnight. From the moment that God had told me to write the book, I'm like, you know, I don't want to write it because I don't want people to know my business. Not realizing that someone is, I always kept in the back of my mind, someone's waiting for you to be obedient. Because you never know who you can encourage to unlock things inside of them. You never know. So my encouraging words for the authors would be, just do it. I can get really technical, right? So I had to remove the technicalities and listen to the Holy Spirit and just write. I don't care if it's a notebook. I don't care if it's Microsoft Word, Google Docs. Write it. Get it out of you. Worry about the formalities when you have PR and they're editing, and they'll take care of all of that, guys. Or even if you learn how to self-publish, whatever the case, but just get it out. No matter how you think it sounds, you pour out as transparent as you can be. Do not water down what you've gone through. If you have to change some of the language because you don't curse anymore and stuff, I understand that because, you know, we're not writing those kind of books, you know, where people mean, you know. But anyway, whatever you choose to do, you know, if you have to watch the language, censor it, find another word for it, that's cool. Because sometimes, let me tell you the truth, sometimes the things that we went through, you'd be like, well, I could insert a couple cuss words right here because that's just how it was. Yeah. A couple. That's exactly what it was. I don't even know. I can't find another word. But just ask God to lead you in that. And you know, find some other words if you do have to censor things. Because of your audience, everyone, you know, your audience is going to be diverse. But get it out. Get it out by any means. And tune out and just stop telling people what you're going to do. Because a lot of times we'll find that people are in our lives for different reasons and different assignments. And everybody's not like, hey, girl, I'm excited for you. Some of them are sent on an assignment to keep you hindered, right? So we just have to make sure that we're dealing with God through the whole process, no matter how hard it hurts, guys. I'll tell you this really quickly. I was sitting at my computer writing, finishing my manuscript, literally wailing, but I had my eyes closed, and I was writing. And I said, God, this is healing. This is helping me to go back to those places so that I can heal, to revisit those only for progression, to recognize where you brought me from so that I can be a testimony for others. You know, and the thing is that it's such a freeing release when you release it. Get it out. That's what I'll tell you. Get it out. Stop worrying about how technically, politically correct you're going to be and get it out. And the formalities will be dealt by with the team that you get and whatever you choose to do, you know, on that. But just get it out no matter what.
You know,
and no matter which method you use.
You know what, Charmaine, I'm just so thankful that you took time out of your schedule to be with us today. So very, very thankful that you were just, you know, pouring your heart out about your life and your experiences. And I know this book is going to change lives. And that is what we do with our pain. Sometimes we want to keep our pain internally, and we may be healed from it, but we don't want to share because, like you said, I don't want anybody to know my business. But you know, when people realize that, oh, my gosh, I am not alone, that is the most freeing moment some of us can have. That's the most freeing moment, like, oh, my goodness. Because sometimes you feel like, am I just an idiot? Am I just a dummy? You know, or whatever, you know. And, you know, is this me? Am I so naive? Or whatever. And you find out, oh, no, 3,000 other people were too. You go, oh, okay, I'm in the club with everybody else, you know, no matter what it is. You
absolutely.
Know? And you kind of it just frees you. And so thank you so much, Charmaine, for being with us on the show today. And all the
thank
success
you.
To your book. and all your new projects you got coming up, let me know how I can be of assistance. Because, you know, I always tell our authors this, that I'm interested in long-term relationships with my authors and not short-term ones. So, you know, see this as a platform for your next projects and everything like that. And I cannot wait to have you back on the show and have you back real soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me tonight. It was definitely a pleasure sitting with all of you sharing the story.
And we were talking today to Charmaine Hunter. She is the author of the upcoming book, Legs Closed, Bible Open, which is a memoir of her story from having depression, from having a child out of wedlock, and to becoming a prostitute. And from that, God gave her strength to become a conqueror. Make sure you stay tuned to Charmaine's Facebook page, or just simply type in Charmaine Hunter on Facebook, and you'll be connected with her. Or you can email her at Charmaine Dollar. I forgot the email address, my mercy, but just listen back to the podcast and you'll be able to get her email address. But just connect with her. If you're going through the same thing, if you've been going through the same thing and haven't been healed, give Charmaine a call. Let her reach out to her, see how she can help you, because she's been there too. Thank you for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday and Wednesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.